May I speak in the name and to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. I wonder what following Jesus might look like for you over the next week or so. If following Jesus is something you're trying to do, something that's important to attempt in your life, what will it involve or imply in the way you spend your time? What does it mean at work? Does it influence the values and priorities you bring to your labours? Does it shape the way you conduct yourself or how you operate in working relationships? Does following Jesus make a difference to family life? Does faith fashion the ideas, the truths, the morals and beliefs that we want as a basis for our families, now and for the generations to come? Or is it quite an individual thing? Is it about time that you devote to the Lord in prayer, making sure that there is space in your life to speak to him and listen in silence for what he might be saying back? Does walking behind Jesus mean spending time in our lives with Scripture, or making worship a priority? Coming together as we do this morning to confess that he is our Lord, and we are his body. Is it to do with our neighbours? Is following Jesus about loving them? Listening deeply, patiently, lovingly if a neighbour is in distress. Or maybe helping with an individual act of mercy. Or in concert with others to bring food, shelter, therapy. I wonder which among those aspects of following Jesus might be yours. Or do you do it in other ways that I haven't described? But however you think you're trying to do it, do you feel you're following Jesus well or sometimes falling short? It's easy to think that we don't match up to the apostles and the saints, the heroes of the faith. Their stories tend to be the stories we get told. Children's books about Christianity often focus about amazing Christians, don't they? Francis giving up all his wealth, crying himself blind in prayerful, passionate devotion to God. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, utterly consumed with love for the poor and dying in India, smiling peacefully, serenely, radiantly, to impart comfort in the most desperate of situations. We read about the hero saints, don't we, who do stuff to follow Jesus that most of us will probably never get near. I don't know about you, but coming to parish communion, saying my prayers before I go to sleep, making a donation to the food bank or a gift to run the church, trying to love my neighbours, it doesn't often feel as dramatic as Oscar Romero or Mother Teresa. And what about our gospel this morning, the call of the disciples? Isn't it just a bit daunting? The disciples haven't met Jesus. They're going about their daily lives. When suddenly he issues an invitation, follow me. And in an instant they decide. They choose a new, risky, transformative direction for their life. They leave the past behind, and in a single heroic act of courageous abandonment, they embrace a brave new future following Jesus. Do our lives tell that kind of story? Maybe not. But you know, the more I've pondered that story of the call of the disciples, which I've known now for many decades, I wonder if it isn't less about the disciples' heroism and more about Jesus' magnetism. Maybe when we think of the life of discipleship, we put too much emphasis on Peter and Andrew and what they get up to, or you and me and what we perhaps don't do. And maybe we don't emphasize enough Jesus the one who makes everything possible. You see, when I look at this story, I now see it as more of a miracle story about Jesus than as a hero story about the disciples. What do I mean? Well, think of those miracle stories that we read in the Gospels. All of those healings, cleansings, raisings from the dead, givings of sight to the blind. In these stories, there's a situation. Someone's life is limited or unfulfilled. And into that situation comes Jesus. He sees the situation. And he acts with authority. He speaks, he touches, he commands with power. Jesus' action is received, and it brings grace and change into the person's life. They become transformed by the agency of Jesus. And the next steps they take in their life are different. For they can see or hear. They're healed, released. Is today's gospel a miracle story? We have the fishermen going about their daily, ordinary lives. They're oblivious to the kingdom of God. They have no faith in Jesus. That's their situation. And into that situation comes the Lord. He sees it and he acts. He speaks an authoritative command. Follow me and I will make you fish for people. Jesus' words create faith where there is no faith. They bring the grace of the kingdom where before there was only the mundane life of the world. Jesus' word changes the fisherman's existence. And by his miraculous mercy, they walk away behind him, transformed. If the call of the disciples is a miracle story, at least in part, truly more about Jesus than about them, then it's a miracle I need to experience time and time again, I know. If my life is to be some kind of meaningful following of Jesus, and not this bundle of my own desires and drives, motivations and mistakes, then I need constantly to be captivated by his command, blessed by his grace, exposed to his transforming word, time and time again. It's a miracle I need, and it's a miracle the church needs. For if we don't follow Jesus, we will soon find lesser figures to follow. Like the Corinthians in the epistle. Some followed Peter, some Paul, some Apollos. If the church isn't focused on Jesus, we will soon find divisions, cliques and factions, subgroups around which we organize our life. I need the miraculous calling from Jesus day by day, season by season, if my following of Christ is to be fresh and genuine. The church needs it too, if we are to be the body of Christ, and not just a disparate group of people. Now, we can't command Christ's call. It belongs to him, and his miracle of grace can burst in at any time of his choosing. But what I can try to do is not to get in the way. Try not to make my life such a busy web of deeds and concerns and preoccupations as to give myself no room to listen, no space to encounter, no time to hear what Jesus might just have to say to me. What I can do is try to find a place and a time to pray and be still. Space in my existence to ponder Scripture, that its words might work grace into my stiff and hard soul. What I can do is access the means of grace that God does offer. The fellowship of the church, the sacraments of the kingdom, the grace God gives me in sustaining creation, each and every day. Let me give one practical example, which may appeal to the younger generations more, but it might not. It could be good for us all. In recent years, more Christians have been speaking to me of using their smartphones for devotional purposes. It might be a way of ensuring that those devices that can dominate, even captivate our lives, could also feed us with messages from God. There are many apps out there that can help. The Bible in 1 Year with Nikki Gumbel, Daily Light on the Daily Path. Or you might know about the Bible Reading Fellowship, which for many years has printed booklets for daily Bible reading, prayer and reflection. Now they offer Guidelines and New Daylight as apps. They could send scripture to your phone, prayers and reflections. Perhaps that could be a way of making a moment to hear Christ's miraculous call, even in the middle of a busy day. A final thought. If the miracle comes, Jesus' inspiring words, creating faith in our hearts, stirring souls to follow him, then the life that follows can have wide varieties of forms. Some following of Jesus is dramatic, like the saints who get books written about them and dates in the calendar. Most is humble and even invisible, but no less precious to God. Some will be called to leave home for the gospel, like the fishermen. Others will be called to stay there for Jesus, to care and help and love, in patient, even sacrificial ways. Some will be called to abandon their work and do something different, like Peter and Andrew. Others will be called to persevere in hope and faith that grace will heal the problems and challenges that they might prefer to run away from. Some will be called by Jesus to take on new, exciting challenges and tasks for the kingdom. Others will be called to do the same thing tomorrow that they did yesterday and the day before. And we might all be called at some point to slow down, pray, be still, and know God as our strength. Don't let's be daunted by other disciples or by discipleship itself. It will come in a shape unique to this unique day and be as different for us all as we are different from each other. But it will come when we listen out for the call of Jesus. Those miraculous, gracious, life-changing words. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people.